Tomorrow night, Thursday, at 8:15 p.m. in Waco Hall, the famous Baylor Golden Wave Band, under its director, Richard Morse, will present an outstanding musical event, a concert by the 95-piece band, programming many beautiful works by one of the greatest and best-loved composers of our day, Percy Grainger. Featured as guest conductor and guest soloist in tomorrow's concert will be Percy Grainger himself, celebrated and world-renowned pianist, composer, and conductor. Mr. Granger's with us in our KWTX studios at this time. We've asked Mr. Daniel Sternberg, professor of music at Baylor University and chairman of the School of Music and a distinguished pianist, composer, and conductor in his own right, to join us here and to interview Mr. Granger. Mr. Sternberg.
Australia, aren't you?
Yes, I was born in Melbourne 64 years ago.
But you are an American citizen now.
Yes, since 1918.
Well, I take it then that you got your first musical training in your native Australia, didn't you?
Yes, I got it mainly from my mother, from my 6th to my 10th year, and then from Louis Pabst, the brother of the Pabst who did the Tchaikovsky Eugen Onegin Waltz.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, do you recall any interesting first musical impressions that you had that you believe may in some way have affected your general development as a musician?
The first thing I can really definitely remember is being led down the steps of the Melbourne Town Hall asleep or half asleep after hearing the Fisk Jubilee Singers. I think that made me like American music. That's what led me to start on liking American music.
That's very interesting. I believe that you had some chance, perhaps through the geographic proximity, to hear some East Asiatic music in your childhood, didn't you?
I imagine that I must have heard Chinese and Japanese music in Australia before I heard white music. So I always feel much more at home in Japanese and Chinese music than in white man's music. The white man's music sounds to me very charming, but quite exotic, whereas Chinese and Japanese music sounds to me my own natural music.
That's quite interesting, coming from a white man who's been writing white man's music all his life. But I do think this is very worth listening about. I believe you mentioned to me in some conversation we had some time ago that you have been interested in Debussy's work in music of this style, especially his pagoda.
Well, he did wonderful things in opening the door to Oriental musical thought in Europe, didn't he?
And you have made some arrangements of this, haven't you, for your...
I've arranged some of his things and some of Ravel's for percussion groups.
I see.
Marimbas, all the typical instruments that have been made in America in the last 40 years.
I understand.
Vibraharps, and marimbas and so on.
Have you not been associated at one time with the great Norwegian composer Grieg?
I met him 2 years before he died, and I spent the last summer of his life with him. But that's all, only the last 2 years of his life.
I understand that you played or were about to play his concerto, weren't you, under his direction?
Yes, he wanted me to play it at the Leeds Festival. He was the conductor, a program of his music there, and he asked me if I played the concerto there with him.
Didn't you at that time make some suggestions as to the improvement, or at least the making it somewhat more...
Well, we were rehearsing the work for this concert, of course, and I'd been playing it several hundred times before I met Grieg, and I asked him a few questions. There were some passages that seemed to me could be more effective with a little different arrangement of the hands, and in some cases he liked what I suggested and was going to incorporate it in a new edition. But he died first, of course, before any new edition came out, so... When I did the edition for Schirmer, I incorporated these things in it.
You did. And we're pretty safe in assuming that they had Grieg's approval, or would have had.
Well, those that are marked with his initials, I did have his approval.
I see.
And some others, of course, I thought of after his death, so I didn't get his approval on those.
Now, do let me get in a little time, at least, on your own compositions. I'm familiar with quite a few of your scores. I think that you are very famous and very popular for your folk song arrangements. But I do dare say that I know some great works that you did that are not very folky at all. I wonder how you feel yourself about the importance of your folk song arrangements as against the other great works that you have done.
Well, my great passion in childhood was Bach's music, and always has been. And polyphonic music has always been the kind of music that appeals to me most. By that I mean music in which several melodic or half-melodic voices move around with some appearance of freedom. I've never liked that kind of music in which a single melody seems to dominate the others and the others walk around like slaves below the melody. I've never liked that particularly. Consequently, folk song, although I've dealt a great deal with folk song, doesn't feel as natural to me as some other kinds of music.
And yet, I dare say the average music lover will know you better for your country gardens than for some of your greater works.
Well, that's because they like the melodic power that's in folk song, and they don't like the lack of melodic power that's in me.
Tell me, Mr. Granger, I notice in examining your scores that you consistently use English rather than the customary Italian for musical terms. Does that have any definite reason, or is it just an accident?
No. I've taken the view that Schumann took, that music is, after all, a local nationalistic expression. Partly because I can see that music is not practiced as a cosmopolitan art yet. I wish it would be someday. But in the meantime, it seems to me one should write in a language one understands oneself. Also, I have no wish that my music or anybody else's music should be regarded as the music of the world, because I think that each person's music is just good and bad according to his own locality, his own climate, geography, and everything else.
I understand. Now, speaking of your music, looking over the program which you are going to give with the band here in Waco, I find a very interesting item there. I believe it is The Power of Rome and the Christian Heart, a somewhat strange title for a composition. Could you tell us a little bit about it? What is this work?
Well, I started it in the middle of the last World War. I was in a band in the army, in several bands, rather, for 2 years. And, of course, my work in the bands was very, very fascinating. Because
what did you play?
I played soprano saxophone, alto saxophone, bassoon, and oboe. But I had no time to practice very much. I was arranging all the time. So I didn't do very much playing, unfortunately, because I enjoyed the playing. The sound of the band all around one is very fascinating. But to go back to, what were we talking about?
The Power of Rome and the Christian Heart.
Yes. Well, while I was in the band, I used to see young boys doing bayonet practice. And I thought of all the different people who'd been forced into the various armies of the world. For instance, Danes, who happened to be born across the border, being forced into the German army, and other people who just come here from Europe being forced into the American army, and finding themselves fighting against the people they'd been brought up with. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to me very sad, and I thought about it a great deal, and it started a mood. It also made me think of all those other situations, such as that of the early Christians in Rome. Anybody who has any strong beliefs or any strong feelings is always likely to find himself in conflict with the authorities that exist at the moment. And it isn't a question of whether those authorities are right or wrong, or whether the young people are right or wrong, but it's a very torturing kind of condition.
And you're trying to capture this general feeling in musical terms in this work?
Well, I wrote out of the depression that was generated in me by the sight of all these things.
I understand.
It has no meaning, it points no path, it offers no solution. It simply is grouchy, it simply grumbles at this sad condition of tyranny and torturing.
Well, having heard a rehearsal of it and having looked the score over, I may contradict you to the extent of saying that it's a very beautiful and very remarkable work.
No, I'm very glad that you like it.
Tell me, though, I was somewhat struck by its orchestration. It does not just use a band.
No, it uses a military band, or wind band, whatever you call it, a string orchestra, an organ.
Combining all three, then?
Yes, combining all three.
I understand. Now, how do you feel about the organ as part of the band or part of an orchestra? Do you think it has a legitimate place in it?
Well, I was moved towards the organ by two things. By the use of the organ in Bach scores and Handel scores, of course, such as the Matthew Passion. And then by the beautiful use of the organ that happened here in the days of the silent movies, when the organ used to improvise all the way through a movie. I used very often to go to hear the organ rather than to see the movie, because I enjoyed the organ so much, the improvisation.
Now, to return for a moment back to the band, I noticed that you have appeared many times with college bands like ours.
Yes.
Now, it has struck me as strange that a man of your achievement should not find it beneath his dignity to appear with amateur and student outfits in preference sometimes to professional outfits. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't think I feel differently to any other composer. You're assuming that the professional bands play better than the amateur bands, are you?
Well, one often does assume.
Well, let's assume that for a moment. I don't agree, but let's assume it for a moment. How much of the world's music, how much of the best music of Bach, Handel, Wagner, César Franck, has been composed to be well played? We've no guarantee that Haydn, with his Esterházy Orchestra or any other, that he really was certain of having good players. He just had players, didn't he?
Well, that's true. Bach had only students to perform most of
them. Yes, and all the remaining letters from Bach about his students was only grumbling at them and objecting to them. So he probably didn't have what he considered ideal players. So that I think a composer is very well served if he just has players rather than very highly professional players. But then there's the other question. Are amateurs or professionals better? And I say from the composer's standpoint that the amateurs are better than the professionals. Because a highly professional band, I won't mention any names, but we can all think of some beautiful professional bands, they all of them are so badly balanced because they have too few instruments. They're too weak in the lower sections. They're generally top heavy. And that isn't very pleasant for a modern composer to write for. And they're also somewhat tired out and blasé, whereas the a good amateur band, if he's conducted by a real genius of a conductor, is just alive with joy and with a love of music. No, I would much rather write for and be performed by a good student band than any other. But of course your band here is quite an exceptional thing. I've never heard any band, professional or amateur, which compares with this band in expressiveness. I think your conductor,
Mr.
Richard Morse, isn't it?
Yes.
I think he's an absolute genius, and what he's achieved to the band, I've never seen the equal of.
Well, now, that certainly is sweet music to my ears. I hope that Dick is listening in. It certainly is good to know that one who has heard so many bands and played with them feels good about our own. You will be interested to know, Mr. Granger, that the band was actually down and out when the war broke out, because we lost all our boys, and we had to start from scratch.
And you've done all this wonderful work since?
It has actually begun just 2.5 years ago.
Marvelous, isn't it?
Come all the way up since, yes. Well, we're happy that you like it, and we're certainly looking forward very much to hearing you with the band. Tell me, before I let you go, you are going to do some piano work for us, too, aren't
you? Yes, I'm doing two groups of solos.
What in particular are you going to play?
I'm playing the Bach Fantasia and Fugue in G minor, arranged by Liszt, and three modern pieces.
I take it that you are quite attracted to the piano as a musician's instrument, aren't you? Or how do you feel about it?
I think the piano is a marvelous instrument in making us familiar with a wide range of music. And I think that was the object of the keyboard instruments originally. As a composer, I've never composed for piano because I like melody instruments rather than chord instruments. But I can see that the piano is a wonderful instrument for chords, for those that like chords.
Well, we are looking forward very much to hearing you play the piano for us. I wish you had included some of your own compositions in it. But
I've never composed anything for piano.
Well, you have at least made arrangements
for
the piano,
haven't
you?
Yes.
Well, we will hear you play. We will hear you conduct, and we are all looking forward to it very much. I hope no one who is hearing you speak now will miss the opportunity to hear this concert and attend it tomorrow.
It's a great privilege to be with you in such wonderful organizations as you have.
Thank you very much for the time you've spent with us, and thank you for being with us this evening.